of time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oh, yeah, you better bet we are. James Bostic, a conservative's perspective here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com. That's where you go, and here's what you do. You type in Patriot Nation Radio, or you can look around for the links that are liberally sprinkled all over the intergalactic web, and you can link onto us that way. But if you go through blogtalkradio.com, type in Patriot Nation Radio Network, or Patriot Nation Radio, that should take you right there. And you'll find ACP Live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Good to be with you. You know, I'm not exactly sure where to begin because there's so much crap going on. And before we get too far along into this deal, for those of you who happened, and hopefully you didn't, but for those of you who happen to try and tune in to the Sunday program over at Mojo 50 Radio, I kind of screwed things up with the automation. I want to apologize for that. Now, ordinarily, when you move to a new platform, a new medium, there's always a different way of doing things, and they have different expectations. And usually, if things are going to get screwed up, it happens in the first program. Well, first program went off without a hitch, and I was really excited and felt very confident and thought I had a grip on what was supposed to happen. The second program, the wheels fell off, and figured out what I did wrong, figured out what I got to do right, and it's not going to be a problem anymore because they booted me off of it. No, they didn't. They probably should have, and if they had known what was going to happen, they might not even brought me there, but Ron Phillips is a terrific guy, and he was very helpful, and he was very patient, and I'm exceedingly grateful for that. So having said that, let me say this. I encourage you, I know, in spite of everything that happened last week, it's like, I encourage you to tune in this Sunday, Mojo 50 Radio. You can find they have an app on iHeartRadio, so you can get to it there, and check out A Conservative's Perspective, Sundays at 4. I really don't know, again, where to start with this. There's been so much going on. I guess we'll start, and those of you who know me know that out of all the people in this rogues gallery that I call Hydra, and there are lots of villains. There are lots of villains worthy of my disdain and contempt from Barack Obama on down. But the one cat that really, I just, right in the kisser, man, pow, knuckle sandwich. He makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I don't like him, and I'm going to go further than that. I hate him. I hate his ever-loving guts. And you guys know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Johnny Red. That's right, John Brennan. Communist, lying SOB, John Brennan. I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but in 1976, John Brennan voted for the Communist Party USA's presidential candidate, Slobberin' Gus Hall. And under Barack Obama, he became director of the Central Intelligence Agency. The Central Intelligence Agency. Barack Obama appointed a communist to the Central Intelligence Agency, and none of these idiots, none of them, left or right, batted an eyebrow or so much as cleared their throats. And each and every one of them deserved to be punched right in their miserable, scrawny throats. Where was I? Oh, I just hate the dude, man. I hate him. Like I said, he's a commie. He's a liar. He's a lying commie. He's part of Hydra. And he's the dude I just want to walk up to and just like smash just right in the beezer, man. Just whap-pow. Watch his eyes roll up in the back of his head and his knees buckle and let him fall right on his duff. Well, as you know, and at the root of this whole conspiracy craziness is a manufactured product. And I've talked about this a million times, and I'm probably going to talk about it a million more times. This is, we're still living under the consequences of an active coup d'etat. No, I'm not kidding, and you guys know it. I don't care what CNN tells you. You listen to me. We have to know every one of these cats, every one of the heads, from Barack Obama and grabby Joe Biden to Hillary Clinton and her entourage. This vast, evil, treasonous cabal of people who tried to overthrow the United States government in the form of the Donald Trump administration. This product, this dossier that was comprised by elements from the Hillary Clinton campaign and Fusion GPS through the persons of Nellie Orr and Christopher Steele, that came up with this dossier, this crap, this product. Again, manufactured product. Nothing. But it had to come from somewhere. And it had to get exposure, this dossier. And we'll talk a little bit about that later. But the main point is, once it did receive this expose, or this exposure rather, and it's in the news, this, as to quote James Comey, salacious and unverifiable, not unverified, unverifiable. It could not be verified because there was nothing there to verify. It was product, a figment of imagination with the endorsement of people here in reality. That's all it was. A lie endorsed by liars. Rand Paul has, he was on Good Morning somebody. He was on Fox. Anyway, he's on one of these morning shows, and he's talking about this. And one of the people responsible for getting this dossier to the government, that's right, John Brennan. Let me pull this up here real quick. I'm not real sure how long the clip is. It's not very long. I think it's about like 5 minutes, if that, where he talks about this stuff. R for Rand. Oh, for the love of God, man. Okay. It's been a bit of a day, and I think that's all we'll say right now. 5 minutes. Yeah, here it is. Rand Paul talking about the dossier and my good friend, John Brennan.
Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky tweeted out last night this shocking claim, breaking. A high-level source tells me it was John Brennan who insisted that the unverified and fake steel dossier be included in the Intel report. Brennan should be asked to testify under oath in front of Congress as soon as possible.
Senator Rand Paul joins us now to explain. Senator Paul, what more can you tell us about the lead you got?
Well, my source tells me that the intelligence community, Obama's intelligence community, Brennan, Clapper, Comey, they were frustrated because they had this Russian dossier, but nobody believed it was real. It wasn't verifiable. They couldn't get anything of it. So they sent spies into the Trump campaign. They tried to entrap Trump officials to admit they were working with Russia. That wasn't working. And so they were frustrated, but they wanted to somehow get this information out, this Russian dossier, that even the media wasn't publishing. Nobody would publish it because it was so scandalous, unverifiable, and likely fiction. So finally they decided, well, what we have to do is attach this dossier, this fake dossier, to an intelligence report. So the president receives these intelligence reports, and they're given directly to the president. Well, what they do is they staple to the report the Russian dossier. So now Obama's officially seeing it, and then also it's given to Trump at this point. But realize that this is a big circle. They'd had the dossier for months and months. So when John McCain is given the dossier, it's given to him by people who may have leaked it from our government to John McCain, so John McCain can give it back to the FBI. I mean, it's a crazy circle, all trying to justify something that wasn't true, but extraordinary power of these people and extraordinary corruption. And they almost brought, you know, they tried to bring down a sitting president. This shouldn't happen to anybody. And when President Trump spoke to us this week, he said he doesn't want it to happen to any future presidents, Republican or Democrat, that the intelligence agencies use all of their power of surveillance to actually try to bring down a sitting president.
Yeah, you say that Brennan Clapper and Comey were all frustrated. What's frustrating is they use this dossier, this unverified, salacious dossier, very scandalous, as you say, to try to take down the president. You tweeted out you have a high-level source. I doubt you're going to tell us who the source is, but I have to ask, who's the source? And if you're not going to tell me the name, how trustworthy is this person?
You know, I think it comes from someone who has a great deal of information about what's been going on. Not everybody, I mean, nobody knows the complete picture yet. And that's why I'm in favor of, you know, the president has now said that he's going to declassify some of these documents. See, I believe that the dossier, you know, had been held by the FBI for several months. You know, Brennan starts his little group to investigate it. I believe at that time they did talk to President Obama about it. And I think they should all be asked, when did President Obama learn about this and what was his recommendation? He's in charge of the government. Did he recommend that you try to spread the dossier throughout the government? Remember those reports right around the time of the election, right after Trump won, they were saying that Obama officials were spreading this information throughout government. They were spreading the dossier and they couldn't gain traction, so then they released it to people outside government, reporters, who would write a story, and then they would say to the FISA judge, look, there's a story being written about this dossier. It must be true.
It's Exhibit A. And it'll be interesting when you're able to call Mr. Brennan in front of Congress. That's going to be great. A member of Congress got the attention of the president this morning in a tweet. I want to read it to you, Senator. Congressman Adam Schiff, the president writes, who spent 2 years knowingly and unlawfully leaking and lying, should be forced to resign from Congress. What do you think about that?
Pretty strong words. I think we should see the evidence. I think if you're on the intelligence committees or any committees that handle sensitive material, leaking that to the media is a crime and ought to be a crime. And we have certain rules for congressmen, so you can say things in public on the floor in the spirit of debate. You can't be censored for that. But if you're from a committee, hearing a classified hearing, and then you're talking to a reporter about it, that is a real problem. It's one reason why whenever I go to a classified hearing, I don't stop and talk to the media immediately, because I want to make sure that I've collected my thoughts and that I don't reveal anything that came from the classified hearing.
But it does happen a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it comes all throughout government. That's a sad thing. It comes from the Pentagon. It comes from the Department of State.
Yeah.
I talk to ambassadors, our ambassadors overseas, and some of them are afraid to talk to me on official lines because they're being listened to by other members of our government.
Yeah. And by the way, the Democrats are not buying the summary. They still think the president colluded just about to a person. They just can't get enough of this story.
Yeah, and I think what's going to happen, and what I'm telling people, is I'm okay with the Mueller report coming out more completely. But in addition, we need to have information on Obama, White House officials, Comey, Brennan, Clapper. That should be part of it, because the report is the conclusion, but the beginning is, why did we get to the report in the beginning, and did someone misuse their office? So if Democrats want the complete Mueller report, I'm going to object until we get a complete report of all the Obama-era officials that got this thing started.
Okay. You're not alone. A lot of Americans feel that same way. Thanks so much, Senator, for being with us.
Thank you.
All the research indicates that CIA Director John Brennan enlisted the help of U.S. and foreign intelligence assets to run operations against the Trump campaign early in 2016. 2016, he's still head of the CIA. 2016, Barack Obama's still president. The objective, obviously, to give the false and manufactured appearance of a compromise. Once the CIA established the possibility of compromise between the campaign and the Russians, then this opens the door for the FBI investigation. It's likely that the operation run by John Brennan targeting George Papadopoulos is at the center of a two-page electronic communication and origination document that was given to FBI Director James Comey in July 2017 to start the counterintelligence operation, which was called Crossfire Hurricane, against the Trump campaign. Now, Brennan was responsible for organizing the intelligence assets, and those guys were Joseph Misfud and Stephen Halper. We got some more that's going to be coming on this because it will directly, and I'm getting this, by the way, just so you guys know, this is coming from our friend Sundance at the Conservative Treehouse, theconservativetreehouse.com. That's where you go. That's where I go. That's where we get this stuff. And what's going to happen, Sundance has got some more of this to reveal, and of course, as soon as he does, I'm going to be sharing it with you guys, because it will directly and unequivocally tie back to the White House, the Barack Obama White House, National Security Advisor Susan Rice, and Chief of Staff for Barack Obama, Dennis McDonough. Every week, and as time has gone on, and this has gone on for a couple of years, and you guys know me. I am on this stuff all the time. It's what I do. And this is the biggest political scandal in the history of the country. And that's no joke. People, when they talk about political scandals, you know, they still dig back 45 years to Watergate. Oh, no. No. Watergate, some stalwarts from the committee to reelect the president and some other intelligence types just looking to get dirt, just looking to get some dirt on the 72 Democratic candidates at that time. Thomas Eagleton, Edwin Muskie, Hubert Humphrey, George McGovern. These guys, after they failed, thank God, after they failed at rigging a general election, they were successful in rigging the primary. That's how Hillary Clinton won the nomination. They rigged it. They ripped off the Bernie Sanders voters with that superdelegate doctrine, and the fix was in. Donna Brazile was a Clinton babe running the DNC, for crying out loud. Who did they think was good? Bernie had to be crazy to think he was going to get the nomination. And apparently he's just as crazy because he's running again. He's already banked $28 million. Guys, he's not going to be the Democrat nominee. Do you ever wonder what happens to all this campaign money? Where does it go when the election's over and the candidate loses? It's not like they have a list of donors and somebody sits and writes these guys a check refunding them their money. It is kept. How do you think Bernie Sanders has three houses, one of them a lakefront property in Vermont? And he's already got $28 million. So after they rig successfully the Democrat primaries and Hillary Clinton ascends to the nomination, they tried to rig the general election. They could not. They had, by all polling data available and common sense and a couple of wide open eyeballs, and anybody that's looked at a newspaper in the last 25 years, a very untrustworthy, unattractive, and I'm not talking physically, although she is an unfortunate looking woman. I don't mean those things. When I say unattractive, I mean she just didn't resonate well with the voters. Plus, she was dislikable. She was so unlikable. But that's who they decided to go with. It was her turn, damn it. And so they did. And 63 million Americans said, yeah, no. Oh, hell no. No. So having failed to rig the general election, they tripled down and they instead determined to initiate a coup. And that's what they've done. And John Brennan played a critical role in this coup. And all this time, and this is the thing that gets me, again, 1976, Communist Party USA, Slobber and Gus Hall, John Boy Brennan is after going, yeah. And he's voting. He's a communist. And there he is tweeting and condemning the President of the United States because John Brennan believes that he's a Russian asset. That he's working for the Russians. Why would a communist get upset if the President of the United States also happens to be a communist? Oh my God, the air is so thick with hypocrisy. So, Hillary Clinton was to be Barack Obama's anointed successor. Now, the Clintons and the Obamas hated each other's guts, but they hate Republicans and they hate us. They hate Donald Trump, so indirectly they hate us because of our support for him. Even worse than they hated each other. So, Barack Obama's in the know. This is attached to his intelligence briefings when he had the presence of mind to attend them, listen to them. So he knows what's going on. He has contacted and communicated with Hillary Clinton on that homebrew server that she had under some assumed name. Whiteman, I think. Anyway. So he has, you know, so he's got this undercover name and he's communicating back with the President of the United States on an unsecured server, is communicating and undoubtedly discussing, if not classified, certainly extremely sensitive information that shouldn't be out over the Ethernet for the Russians to hack as they did. So everybody knows about it. Everybody's in on it. Well, I think we're close enough to the bottom of the hour. I'm going to take a little bit of a break. All this talking makes a fellow thirsty. We will be back with more of a conservative perspective right after this brief musical interlude. You are listening to ACP here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy, 'cause I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low, any way the wind blows.
Dada? Dada!
I see a little silhouette of a clown. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Hello, the lightning, very, very frightening.
Me, 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 me.
Galileo.
Me, me, me.
Galileo, Galileo, Figaro.
I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me.
He's just a poor boy from a poor family, sparing his life from his
monstrosity. No, no, no.
Easy come, easy go, will you let me go?
Ma, na, ma, na.
Let me throw.
Ma, na, ma, na.
They will not let you throw.
Let me blow.
Ma, na, ma, na.
They will not let you blow.
Let me jump.
Do not like your jokes.
Let me jump.
Do not like your jokes.
Let me jump.
No, 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 no.
Bernigini, Bernigini.
Mamma mia, let me go.
Scooter?
Yeah, Chief?
Remind me to stop setting up these video conferences. They're not very productive.
You got it.
Sheesh.
We'll be right back.
I need a lawyer. I don't have any money. I was framed. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. James Bostic here. Jess was inboxing with a friend of the program, terrific guy, Gary Benford, who was telling me that he loved the Perry Mason show. And he had never heard the theme all the way through. One of my favorite tunes, too, Gary. And thank you for listening, by the way. Nation Savers 2018. You want to check them out. They have a presence on Facebook, and you want to also check out their website as well. Gary Benford, terrific guy. He was a guest on the program a couple weeks back, and we look forward to having him on again. That was Fred Steiner and the Park Avenue Orchestra, of course, doing the Perry Mason theme. James Bostic here. Welcome back. This story, this whole collusion thing, the story of this coup, and they call it collusion, but it's much more than that. The history, the chronology of this coup d'etat is intricate. And you know, in a one-hour show, you know, to be honest, we're only going to cover so much of it. And to be truthful with you, there's only so much of it, even with me, that, you know, when I look at this stuff all the time, it can be digested at any, you know, given time. But I want to tell you guys right now, number one, you need to stay mad about it. Number two, you're welcome, Gary. We love having you on the show, man. We're still talking a little bit here. We need to stay angry about this thing. I mean, really angry. And what we've got to do is we've got to make outreach to those guys that actually think Rachel Maddow and those of that ilk are telling them the truth. We have to. We have to reach out. We have to reach out in fellowship. We have to reach out in brotherhood and in love and try and reach these people and tell them. You're being lied to. This is not the deal. And this is, you know, don't be mad about this. This is what you need to be mad about. These people are trying to take your country away from you. And just like our friend Gary Benford at Nation Savers, that's what we need to do. We're trying to save the country. Every endeavor like this, like Gary's, like mine, like Mark Hoffman's, like the Captain's Late Watch, like Don Newman and Donna Fiducia and Cowboy Logic Restoring America Form, like Ron Phillips and Mojo 50 Radio, like Talk America, all these places. That's what we're doing. We're trying to save it. So we got to stay angry. We have to stay aware. But at the same time, you know, we also have to assume that mantle of the happy warrior. We've got to fly into the arms of conflict with a blithe spirit and a glad heart, because truth is on our side. And the irony about this, and this is an article I found today from Victor David Hansen, an outstanding historian and a remarkably cogent and clear thinker who has an excellent grasp on this entire situation. The irony of the entire Russian collusion hoax is that accusers who cried the loudest about leaking and collusion and lying and obstruction are themselves soon very likely to be accused of just those things. Now that Robert Mueller's 674-day, $30 million investigation is over and has failed to attain the original goal of its mandate, which was evidence of a criminal conspiracy between the Trump presidential campaign and the Russian government to sway the 2016 election. And now that thousands of once sealed government documents will likely be released in unredacted form, those who eagerly assume the role of the hunters may now become the hunted due to their own zealous violation of the nation's trust and its laws. Take lying. Former FBI Director James Comey's testimonies cannot be reconciled with those of his own Deputy Director, Andrew McCabe. He falsely testified that the Steele dossier was not the main basis for obtaining FISA court warrants. It was. On at least 245 different occasions, James Comey swore under oath that he either did not know or could not remember when asked direct questions about his conduct at the FBI. He likely lied when he testified that he did not conclude his assessment of the Clinton illegal email use before he'd even interviewed Clinton, an assertion contradicted by his own written report. Andrew McCabe is currently under criminal referral for lying to federal investigators about leaking to the media. He and Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein each have accused the other of not telling the whole truth about their shared caper of trying to force President Trump out of office by invoking the 25th Amendment. Former National Director of, former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper has admitted to lying under oath to Congress and has since lied about his earlier admission of lying. His recent sworn congressional testimony of not having leaked information about the Steele dossier to the media is again likely to be untrue, given that Clapper had admitted to speaking to CNN's Jake Tapper about the dossier's contents. Now, CNN, remember, would in turn go on to hire the mendacious Clapper as an analyst. And once on the air, Clapper would insist that Trump was both a Russian asset and thus guilty of collusion crimes greater than those of Watergate. Lies, America. All lies. Former CIA director. Give me a moment. Former CIA director John Brennan has admitted to lying under oath to Congress on two different occasions. He may well face further legal exposure when he lost his security clearance. He repeatedly lied that Trump was guilty of collusion. However, that non-crime, and it is not a crime as defined, he was guilty of it. And as the Mueller probe wound down, Brennan, with faux authority and trumped up hints of phony access to secret intelligence sources, deceitfully assured the nation that within days, Donald Trump would face indictment, perhaps along with his family members. In 2016, CIA Director John Brennan also reached out to foreign intelligence services, primarily British and Australian services, to surveil and entrap Donald Trump's aides. And they did this as a way of circumventing the rules that prevented the CIA itself from monitoring American citizens. And he may well also have reverse targeted Americans under the guise of monitoring foreign nationals in order to build a case of so-called Trump collusion. So he would have these foreign nationals hang out with these Americans, and everyone would think that he was spying on the foreign nationals. But the truth of the matter is, he had colluded with these foreign nationals in order to gain access and the ability to surveil the American targets. You're not supposed to do that. And finally, Brennan testified to Congress in May 2017 that he had not been earlier aware of the dossier or its contents before the election. Although in August 2016, it is almost certain that he had briefed Senator Harry Reid on this in a spirited effort to have Reid pressure the FBI to keep or expand its counterintelligence investigation of Trump during the critical final weeks of the election. Clinton aides Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin likely also lied to FBI investigators when they claimed they had no knowledge while working at the State Department that their boss, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, was using an illegal private email service. In fact, they had read her communications on it and actually inquired about its efficacy. Not dead air, getting a drink. Samantha Power, the former UN ambassador in her last year in office, requested on more than 260 occasions to unmask names of Americans monitored by the government. Yet Power later claimed that most of these requests were not made by her. And yet she either does not know or does not cite exactly who it was who used her name to make these requests during the election cycle. In any case, no one's come forward to admit the improper use of Power's name to request the hundreds of unmaskings. Susan Rice, The former Obama National Security Advisor could have made a number of unmasking requests in Power's name, although she initially denied making any requests in her own name, a lie she immediately amended. Rice, remember, repeatedly lied. And she lied on national television about the cause and origins of the Benghazi attack. She denied there were cash payments for hostages in the Iran deal. She misled the nation about the conduct of Bo Bergdahl and prevaricated over the existence and subsequent destruction of weapons of mass destruction held by Assad al-Assad in Syria. Deputy Attorney General Bruce Orr did not tell the truth on a federal written disclosure required by law when he omitted the key fact that his wife Nellie, who was also a CIA contractor, worked on Christopher Steele's Fusion GPS dossier. Orr's testimony that he completely briefed key FBI officials on the dossier in July or August of 2016 is not compatible with what former FBI Attorney Lisa Page has testified to concerning the dates of her own knowledge of the Steele material. Let's talk foreign collusion for a moment. Christopher Steele is a foreign national. So are many of the Russian sources that he claims he contacted to solicit dirt on Donald Trump and his campaign aides. In fact, John Brennan's CIA, soon in consultation with the FBI, was used in a circuitous fashion to facilitate surveillance of Donald Trump's campaign through the use of foreign nationals, again, during the 2016 campaign. When they're talking about foreign nationals, they're talking about people in the intelligence services of the United Kingdom and Australia who were surveilling American citizens at the behest of John Brennan and the CIA. I hate this guy. I'm not going to lie about it. I know you can tell. I hate him. Foreigners like Maltese professor Joseph Mifsud and former Australian Minister for Foreign Affairs Alexander Downer and an array of intelligence contractors from the British Foreign and Commonwealth Office mysteriously met with minor Trump aide George Papadopoulos. George and his wife, by the way, have a book that's been recently published. I was on the road somewhere today, and he was on Sean Hannity talking about some of this very stuff. It's likely that they did this to disguise American intelligence agencies' efforts to besmirch, surveil, and leak to the press damaging unfounded rumors about the Trump campaign that John Brennan enlisted an entire cadre of foreign nationals. And it is likely to be the most egregious example of using non-U.S. citizens to affect the outcome of an election in our history. Collusion. You want collusion? We're talking about it now. A conspiracy of United States officials to use foreigners to interfere with an American election. And that's what was going on here. And John Brennan's efforts at this are the textbook example. I hate your guts, John Brennan. Let's talk about leaking for a minute. Many of the names unmasked by requests from Samantha Power and Susan Rice were leaked illegally to the media. James Comey himself leaked confidential memos of presidential conversations to the press. And in at least one case, the memo was most likely classified. Former FBI General Counsel James Baker is currently under criminal referral for improperly leaking classified documents. He seems to have been in contact with the media before the election, and he may have been one of many FBI officials in contact, along with Christopher Steele, that reporters such as David Korn, Michael Isikoff, and Julia Yaffe anonymously referenced in their pre-election published hit pieces on Russian collusion. All the result of the successful strategies of Fusion GPS, along with some in the FBI, to seed unverified anti-Trump gossip out onto the airwaves to warp the election. Andrew McCabe, is also under criminal referral, both for leaking classified information and then for lying about it. And in a fashion emblematic of this entire sordid affair, the always ethically compromised James Clapper in January 2017 leaked the dossier to Jake Tapper of CNN and likely other journalists, and then shortly afterwards publicly deplored just this sort of government leaking that had led to sensational stories about the dossier. Obstruction of justice, another one of the mandates of the Mueller investigation. A number of FBI and Department of Justice high-ranking employees like James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Rod Rosenstein, and Sally Yates, all, every single one, signed off on FISA warrants to surveil Carter Page without apprising the courts that they knew that their chief evidence, the Steele dossier, was unverified, that it was paid for by Hillary Clinton, and that it was used in a circular fashion as the basis for news accounts presented to the court. Nor did the Justice Department or FBI officials apprise the FISA justices that Christopher Steele had been terminated as an FBI source specifically for this sort of thing, although his leaking wasn't planned or pre-approved by the heads. That's why he got cut off. And no one believes former Attorney General Loretta Lynch just happened to meet Bill Clinton on a Phoenix airport tarmac and confined their conversations to a variety of topics having nothing to do with Hillary Clinton at a time when Loretta Lynch's Justice Department was investigating her. And note that the meeting was only disclosed because a reporter got a tip and arrived on the scene of the two adjoining Lynch and Clinton private jets, which suggests that the only thing Lynch and Clinton regretted about this deal was being found out. Few people believe Lynch had recused herself as she had promised, given her strict oversight of the sort of language that Comey's FBI was allowed to use in its investigation of Clinton. And it wasn't called the Clinton investigation. She quickly corrected James Comey and referred to it as the Clinton matter. And then, of course, there's conflict of interest. Andrew McCabe should never have been in charge of the FBI investigation of Hillary Clinton, given that just months earlier, his wife had been the recipient of almost $700,000 in campaign cash donated by Clinton and Democrat Party-affiliated political action committees. And the apology of a timeline that suggests conflicts of interest like McCabe's expired after an arbitrary date is specious at best. McCabe knew his spouse had been a recent recipient of Clinton-related money. He knew that he had substantial influence on the fate of her email investigation and hoped and assumed that she was likely to be the next president of the United States very shortly. Again, you know what happens to all that campaign money once the campaign's over? You ever wondered where it went? Something to ruminate on. Rod Rosenstein should never have been appointed acting attorney general in charge of oversight of the Mueller investigation. He knew Robert Mueller well, and in circular fashion, he had drafted the rationale to fire Comey that prompted the Mueller appointment. He had signed off on a FISA warrant request without apprising the court of the true nature of the Steele dossier's origins. He had met shortly before the Mueller appointment with acting FBI Director Andy McCabe to investigate the chance of removing Trump under a distortion of the 25th Amendment, which, you know, makes the claim that you can remove the president if he is deemed mentally incapacitated. So in essence, Rosenstein had been one of the catalysts for McCabe to investigate removing Trump for his own part in the removal of Comey, and then in Orwellian fashion, he joined Andy McCabe's efforts. James Comey deliberately leaked a classified memo of a presidential conversation in which he had misled the president about his actual status under FBI investigations in order to cause enough media outrage over his firing to prompt the hiring of a special counsel. And that gambit succeeded in the appointment of his own longtime associate, Robert Mueller, who would be charged to investigate collusion in which Comey played an important role in monitoring the Trump campaign with the assistance of British national Christopher Steele. You see, James Comey, FBI director, Christopher Steele, foreign national, colluding with a foreign national to affect the outcome of a national presidential election. Robert Mueller did not appoint a legal team inordinately Democratic, which included attorneys who had been either donors to the Clinton campaign or had actually been attorneys for Clinton aides or had defended the Clinton Foundation. All these cats were in bed with the Clintons in some way or some fashion. It's going to be really difficult, and as you can see from what we've talked about here, to unravel all of the lying we've just talked about and the distortion and the unethical and illegal conduct. Now, the various motivators of all these people, these bad actors, these Hydra agents, the motivations are diverse, but they do share a common denominator. As D.C. politicos and administrative state careerists, every single one of them believed that Donald Trump was so abhorrent that he should be prevented from winning the 2016 election. After his stunning and shocking victory, they assumed further that either he should not be inaugurated or he should be removed from office as soon as they could arrange it. They further reasoned that as high and esteemed unelected officials, their efforts were above and beyond the law, and rightly so, given their assumed superior wisdom and morality. Finally, if their initial efforts were predicated on winning not just exemption from the law, but even promotions and kudos from a grateful President Hillary Clinton, their subsequent energies at removing Trump and investing in the collusion hoax were preemptive and defensive. They saw it either as a way of removing Trump, who had the presidential power to call them all to account for their illegality. 60 seconds left. I got to wrap this up. They were almost, but so far, not quite correct in all their assumptions in how this is going to work out, because it's not going to go the way they want. Okay, we're down to the last couple of seconds. ACP heard here Tuesdays, Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Patriot Nation Radio Network through the studios at Blog Talk Radio. We also have the Sunday show, the recorded incarnation of ACP at Mojo, M-O-J-O-5-O-Radio, Mojo50.com. Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's all the time we got, folks. We'll be back Thursday taking a look at things live, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, as we do through a conservative's perspective. God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you then.
Blog Talk Radio.